Diversity.
So today in Creative Disturbance podcast, I'm Rita, and I also have another Rita with me today. She's a creative disturber. And can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, thank you, Rita, for inviting me. I started from medical school, and then I spent about 15 years studying cognitive science. And at some point, I realized that some of the questions that I was really interested in were really not addressed by science. And then I migrated out of science and spent the next 15 years working and studying mostly improvisation from both the movement and theater point of view. And now I've been recently back in a scientific environment for the last 4 years and looking at ways in which I can combine these two interests to address some of the questions that excite me.
So what drives your curiosity? Can you tell me about something that has always been on your mind and drives your need or feeling for joining art and science and putting together and apart two different fields?
Well, one of the things, I think my main curiosity is about presence. And I remember this from being a really small child, because when I started to go to school, I noticed one day that I was in my backyard, and I was doing the things that I used to do all the time before I went to school, but that I didn't have the same level of enjoyment of them. You know, I had like this voice in my head was really kind of creating a commentary and trying to say, oh, look how beautiful it is to be outside, smelling the flowers. But before, I was just enjoying being outside and smelling the flowers. And I noticed that when I, in my first iteration through science, when I left, the experiment I was working on was on perceptual awareness. And I wanted to see what was happening if two things happened, you know, the same stimulus happened, but you had two different percept. In that case, I was working with an Ecker cube. And then what really captivated me in the journey through improvisation was that all my teachers and then afterwards me, we were after this very ephemeral sense of being present. So I tried, since I've been here, to take the bull by the horn, which was to try to find a way to quantify presence. But that's not been such a simple direction. So I feel like right now I'm taking a detour that, to see if it takes me to the same result. And because of my improvisation training, I think of presence as the absence of habitual actions, and in particular, habitual actions that are unconscious. I'm now in the process of designing a prototype that is something hybrid between an experiment and an experience that involves seeing how can we modify unconscious biases, unconscious habits. And at the moment, I'm thinking about 4 steps to having this prototype. A test for implicit biases. There are many now in the psychological literature. The implicit association test is the most used, but other experimental paradigms like the ultimatum game has also been used in association to it. And then I would like to have some bias revealing actions, which are actions that mostly come from diversity training and improv theater training. And then something like what I call a groupometer, now a way of seeing if I've trained people in these bias revealing actions, so that if they individually have become more aware of their habitual pattern, how does that impact their behavior within the training group? And then the first step that I'm really interested in is sort of releasing these people in the wild. So see how having done this training impact their behavior. At the moment, I'm thinking in the context of the dance floor, but it could be also in a company or in a city or in whatever context. And just to make clear what type of implicit actions, biases I'm talking about, I'm talking about biases like the preference, for example, to speak with, let's take, for example, the concept of gender, to speak more with a person of the same gender or the opposite gender, and see if these can be modified by becoming aware of this action, of these biases being present.
I was wondering if you think that people that dance, for instance, professionally or improvisers that have never had a scientific training, do you think that their self-report, the way that they report presence, is different? For instance, would you imagine that if you have a group of people that have no training whatsoever in dance or improvisation, and then you train them for this presence, awareness, and then you have another group of dancers, for instance, do you think that they already have this feeling of presence? Do they work? Do you understand?
I understand. I think I understand what you mean, and stop me if not. I think that people that train in dance and in improvisation already have a more felt sense about presence. First of all, simply because they have a better sense of their body. No, they are trained at something that is not normal in our culture and education, to be aware of what's happening in their body, while it is something that normally we dismiss and as irrelevant or sometimes even problematic. No, if we have something that doesn't feel right in the body, we take some drugs to make it go away. No? So I feel that, that from that perspective, obviously, they will be more aware of their level of presence. And also they are more trained to see and identify that in on top of themselves in others, because of being exposed on a more regular basis to people that are performing, you start to see, oh, this person is not really doing very much, but I can't take my eyes off him, you know? And instead this other person could even be doing a handstand that is not so interesting. So they have both an internal perception and a more trained eye to identify the state.
I was thinking that in terms of group dynamics, right? Because so there is the individual awareness that mm-hmm. you are talking about, and you are thinking that you want to train people in being aware of their presence, but you want to bring that to a stage, right? Like you were saying, an experiment and the experience. And I was thinking, how do you think that being on a stage would have also an impact on the feeling of presence? Because, for instance, when you are on a stage, it seems like you are in a hyper-vigilant state, mm-hmm. right? It seems that you are aware of many things, and I was wondering how would you think that will feed into...
I think that that would feed, and I also want to clarify that I actually don't want to necessarily technically bring people on a stage. So I, you know, when I talk about this group dynamic, the groupometer, there will be people observing, there will be people, there will be filming, but it's not a performative action. And to be honest, actually, I'm not so interested, even if I truly appreciate the stage experience, I'm not so interested in that. I'm more thinking about this group dynamic divided in two parts, one in which the individual people see themselves within the training group, and how that generalizes when they are outside of their training group with completely regular people. No. And that, so I don't know also how clear I made that where the scientific part I think comes in this. I see that at the moment what I'm thinking is that it comes in at several levels. One which is the level of design. So for example, I want to have two groups going through very similar processes, so going through the same type of actions. But while the experimental group would have a conversation and a debrief around the actions that is such to reveal their internal, them becoming more conscious of their implicit biases. So the control group would do the same actions, but then would have a debrief or a conversation around completely different things. Because I think it's also important to be able to show that it's not just doing the action per se, but is how that action informs your internal state that will have, I think, an impact on the people's awareness and so their ability to then be present with a larger variety of people. And also, as I said, the first component that I want to look at is this, it's a scientific tool, this test for implicit biases that are used for experiments, and I would like to use that before and after these bias-revealing actions. And also just a way of thinking and analyzing both the behavior inside the groupometer and the behavior in the wild, I think are, at least at the mental level, a process that usually scientists do, but that we don't necessarily do, at least explicitly, in outside of the scientific context. And in particular, the stage of the groupometer, I think, is a part in which I would love to do something that I notice I care about, is use science and technology, so have the recording and ways for people to track their own behavior that can be simply of service of the individual and their own awareness. So because I imagine these issues are sensitive for people, I don't think that this would necessarily be a level that get analyzed for a publication, but that it will be something that in which I think science can become a tool for the individual and eventually for society to learn more about ourselves and the things that we care about.
Okay, so last question is, do you remember someone that lately has kind of inspired you in some way? Is there any idea that you've listened recently that caught your mind, a word or someone that you heard about that feeds into these ideas of the awareness and the presence and how knowing yourself and be aware and have access to this information helps you improvise?
I guess I'm thinking about a book that I'm reading. It's called The Unfettered Soul. And basically, the author thesis is his spiritual path is to unconditional happiness. And he says, he asks the reader, do you want to be always happy? And he says, if you say yes, you have to know that this path is a path that requires a lot of work, because throughout the day you get confronted from things that triggers some of these implicit biases. And most of the implicit biases are there for a protective reason. You don't want to feel hurt at the psychological level. And so it's like this path of discovering and allowing these biases and the pain that could come from not acting in that habitual behavior. It's really how he describes his spiritual path. So yes, that's the latest of the things that inspired me around that.
Okay, thank you very much, Rita. Good luck for your disturbance.
Thank you.
Roots of Curiosity.